Well, I hate to interrupt that, but good morning, Grace Church. Glad to see you this morning. The room is a little bit more full than it was last week in the snow. Thanks for those who braved it. Glad you're here. If this is your first time here, maybe somebody invited you or you found us on YouTube or online, we're so glad that you took a risk and came. We've got a welcome center out before you leave. Somebody would love to meet you, answer questions, give you a little gift. Seriously, we're glad you're here. We're not just saying that. So thanks for coming. We've got a lot of things going on at Grace, and one of those, and one of the hallmarks of Grace Church, are great class options, and we've got a lot of new classes coming January 7th. So please take a look online at all the different offerings that are available to you and sign up and prepare for the new year. We've got a lot of exciting things happening in 2026. Before we hit that, we've got Christmas Eve in just a couple of days. So I want to remind you of four services here, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 2 at Olmsted Falls, 4 and 6. And as well, I'd love to remind you to invite somebody. We said in one of the services last week that 82% of people, we stole this from a stat, but 82% of people are likely to come to church if they're invited, but only 2% of people ever invite someone else to church. So be a 3%er this year and take a risk and invite somebody. We've got cards in the lobby. We'd love for you to hand those out at your work or your neighborhood or your barbershop or wherever you spend time. Thanks for the ways that you engage in all things at Grace Church, and thanks for the way you give as well. So whether you give online, your gifts really do make a difference. Thanks for the way you're giving through this month of December. If you give online or in a box on the way out or QR code, or you can use your app, those gifts really do make a difference. There's a whole lot of things going on that I have not mentioned at Grace, and your best place to go is our website, gracecma.org, and then online bulletin has a long list of things. So in that spirit, I know not everybody subscribes to my emails every week. No guilt, no shame. Invitation to subscribe if you'd like. But sometimes we remind about things that are going on. I get to share from my heart. A couple of weeks ago, I shared some important news, and we realized that not all of you are on that email list. So I just wanted to remind you to give us a chance to honor these folks. We've got two people that are, and at the end here, I'm going to give you an opportunity because a birdie told me they're both in the service. So at the end, I'll give you an opportunity to thank them. But we've got two staff members transitioning to different places. Linda Denson has been leading our special needs ministry for 15 years, has done a fantastic job. One of the things that Rachel and I saw when we were coming to Grace Church, among other things, and we've heard about some of those this morning already, was our special needs ministry. So grateful for the way Linda and Lorenzo have led. Linda's retiring at the end of this month. We just want to say thank you, as well as Kareem Smith. Many of you have appreciated Kareem's leadership in Forever Young, but also his preaching ministry. And these are the hard things about church, like we're celebrating people and the way God is leading, but also we're sad to see them go. But Kareem and Rennell have accepted a lead pastor position in Maryland and will be starting there soon. And so, yeah. So actually, let's do a little bit better than that and thank both Linda and Kareem for their wonderful ministry here at Grace Church. Thank you. We bless you guys. We bless you. We're sad, but we bless you. On a little different note, we also, I want to take some time to pray for Christian. And I just blanked on Myra. Thank you. I got it right. It's a miracle. Sometimes God gives me the Jonathan Schaefer grace. And he gave it to me in that moment. I just blanked. Christian and Myra are going to come. They serve in our Spanish campus. So many of you are aware that we have different churches connected to Grace. We have multiple campuses. One of the unique things about our Spanish campus is it's not just a church we're close to, but is a campus of Grace Church, just like Olmsted Falls and Lorain. And you're going to hear more about campuses in the months to come. But Christian just came on full-time December 1st, having been serving as a police officer in the area, took a risk full-time now leading the Spanish campus of Grace Church. And so I just want to take an opportunity to pray for Christian and Myra and their whole church. So if you join me in prayer, sure, let's welcome them. That's good. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for the ways you're working here at Grace Church. We're so grateful for people that you see and that you raise up. And we bless Linda and Kareem on their next endeavors, and we bless Christian and Myra on their ministry here at Grace in the Spanish campus. God, I pray for these 75 or so that'll gather at noon just upstairs, worshiping in Spanish with vibrant worship. And God, I pray that you would draw more, that we would see more people come to faith, more people baptized. And I pray for Christian specifically that you would give him everything he needs in this new full-time pastoral role, everything he needs to follow you with his whole heart, but also anointing on his ministry, leadership wisdom, capacity to know what to do and the decisions to make. And would you bless our Spanish campus as they continue to see people who may have never come to church either and need to worship in Spanish, would you bring them to this place? We give you grace and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, special hello to those joining online this morning or at Olmsted Falls or our Lorain campus. So glad you're able to join. Today's a bit of a different service order. You might have felt that. You stood a little longer than normal this morning at the beginning. And we're going to sing a little bit more than usual on the back end. Lord willing, I'm going to preach a little bit of a shorter sermon here. Lord willing, because I got going in the middle last time and it didn't go so well. So we're going to really try to keep it tight here. I'm grateful for the journey that we're on together as a church family, and specifically through this Advent series of Unexpected. We've been looking at the unexpected people that show up in the genealogy, unexpected circumstances around Jesus' birth, unexpected moments that God keeps using, and we see his heart and his activity, and we see another one today in a very familiar story, but that has some things I just want to call to our attention to remind us, because they're truly remarkable when you take a second. It's the story of the wise men. So I want to look at Matthew 2, if you have your Bible, or you can follow along on the screen, but we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. I'm just going to read this story again, familiar to a lot of us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so I can go worship him too.' After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star that they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." So this story is fascinating. We've got guys from the East. I'm going to talk about the use of the word wise men and what they really did here in a second. But they're guys from the East, and this is all we know about them. Everything else that we think we know is conjecture or interpretation or made up. We have no idea how these guys heard about the Hebrew God, how they heard about the Messiah of the Jewish people. Some think maybe they were in Babylon and they had come across Daniel's writings and connected a dot. Some think that, you know, somebody else had moved from Israel and shared their prophecies with them, but we don't know. These guys are coming from another country, not a lot of understanding, and they just show up in the middle of Jerusalem. They get right to the king somehow, and without much self-awareness or doing it highly intentionally, they say to the king, "We heard that the king was just born." And so the king doesn't respond real favorably to that, tries to trick him, all those kind of things. But we don't know much about them. We don't exactly know what they're trying to do, except for the fact that they say, "We've heard about this king, we followed a star, and we've come to worship him." Like, there's something about Jesus, they don't even know his name yet. There's something about this Jewish Messiah that is drawing them and they're curious about, that they want to worship. And so just very briefly this morning, a few thoughts. First is, the gospel is for all people. All the people. All the people. The wise men come from a weird starting point, and we see God's heart for the nations, his heart for mission, baked into this very first moment of the arrival of Jesus. We see people who did not know the scripture. We see people who just come having felt this hunger or drawing in them. And we see now the promise of the early conversation with Abraham thousands of years ago starting to be lived out right away. So you already heard, if you were here, about the genealogy and how some outsiders were grafted in, but now we see outsiders coming to be a part of the story right away. I'm going to open our next gift this week. We've been opening a different present every Sunday through Advent. And this one, this is a fun one. I'm opening three different ones, and I didn't know what order they were in. This one is actually pulling out three wise men from a different nativity from Kenya. Last service, I opened one from Haiti. I'm not gonna give away the punchline in case you're following at home, but there's another one coming next service. The reason I wanted to open a nativity, and by the way, for accuracy, the wise men show up about a year and a half or 2 years later, so they're not actually around the manger, but it's good to include them. And the reason it's good to include them at the story is, these guys show up from the East, and I hold up some wise men from Kenya, beautiful. I stole these from our friends, the Thielanders. We were in their home, and I said, "I really want that for Sunday," and they gave it to me. These beautiful wise men from Kenya, because nobody in this early story had a clue about Kenya or Haiti or anywhere else in the world for that matter. And certainly not the United States of America. And yet God, by his grace, reached in and started telling a different story, that the gospel was not just going to be for a certain select group of people, but was going to be for all the people with all the backgrounds and all the ethnicities and all the genders, for all the people. This was actually a difficult reality for the Jewish people. Matthew begins his gospel here with the genealogy that we looked at 2 weeks ago, and then this story of the wise men, and ends his gospel with what we call the Great Commission. And he says, "All right, disciples," he takes them up on the mountain where all good things happen for Jewish guys, and he says, "Here we go." And they're thinking, "All right, now finally we get to take over. And this is all about us." And he says, "All right, here's your instructions. Go and make disciples of all nations." He's just talking about like the town next door, right? No, all nations. Baptizing them, teaching them. Jesus is always seeding that God's heart is for all nations and our people, and all people, and that his desire is our heart would align with his. This is important because we, like the Jewish people back then, and like every people group who have ever lived, have a very hard time not believing we're not God's favorite and we're not the center of the story. It's challenging for us to realize that while we have received a lot of blessings, we're not the center of God's story. The center of God's story is Jesus. And Jesus' gospel and his kingdom is for all peoples. He raises up different people at different times to accomplish different things, and we get to be a part of his kingdom, but God's heart is for all peoples. And when guys from the east come, it's very interesting because they're the ones who get it. In all the people around who have access to the scriptures and the prophecies and are close to King Herod have no clue what's going on. They miss it, and the wise men from the east get it. God's gospel is for all people. Secondly, God is the one who draws people to himself. God's the one who does it. John 6, Jesus says, unless the Father draws somebody to me, he can't come. She can't come. So God does the work. We don't drum up enough effort to like figure this out. God stirs in our hearts, and he does it in a variety of ways. For the wise men, he connected some curiosity in their hearts or some study of Eastern religion or a star or whatever, but somehow he uses that as an on-ramp and they end up connected to Jesus. He draws in all of us and he is always drawing all of us. Even those who we feel like are far from God, even those of us who feel like we're disqualified or on the fringe. This happens for all people. There's a singer-songwriter currently who's a good singer-songwriter, but a song came on last year. Rachel and I were in the car, and Rachel said, I actually know the answer to what she's asking. I'm going to read the song, just a little bit of it. This is Casey Musgraves. Nothing against Casey Musgraves, but this is a song that she wrote called The Architect. Does it happen by chance? Is it all happenstance? Do we have any say in this mess? Is it too late to make more space? Could I speak to the architect? This life that we make, is it random or fate? Can I speak to the architect? Is there an architect? And Rachel leaned over to me in the car and said, Casey, I know the architect. I could introduce you to the architect. There is an architect. But in all of us, there's this longing. There's this curiosity. Maybe I've missed it. Maybe there's something bigger than what I've experienced. There's a longing in all of us, but God creates opportunities and continues to draw us, just like he did the wise men. Third and finally this morning, anyone can turn into a worshiper. Anyone. The gospel's for all peoples, and anyone can turn into a worshiper. I mentioned earlier that the wise men name is appropriate translation of the Greek. They are called wise men from this area. They're also called the Magi. A lot of people think they were into some sort of spirituality that was connected to maybe something that we would think more like would be astrology or even the occult. These guys are spiritually curious, but they're actually pursuing dark spirituality. And yet God, by his grace, gives them a pause in their own search and makes them wonder, are we missing something? Or is there something else to pursue? And they end up taking a hard trek. And the scripture says that they fall down when they see him and worship him. Now, I don't know when the last time you were around a two-year-old, but they don't inspire worship for the most part. I love them, love to play with them, don't feel like worshiping them. But they get in the presence of Jesus and they fall down and worship him. And they open treasures and they give what they can give. And they're there saying, this is someone special. I'm going to give something special. This is why we give gifts at Christmas. But the wise men are there, the magicians who maybe were practicing darker arts. And God draws them and transforms them. And they fall down at Jesus' feet and worship him. Anyone can become a worshiper because God is the one who draws, and he can give faith to anybody. I'm saying that for you and for some people that you know. Because in these stories, it's really important to remember that the wise men were not anticipated worshipers. People from the East were not a part of the Hebrew people. They did not know the scriptures, but God drew them, and they take up a half a chapter in Matthew's gospel. Because God wants us to know that we too can become a worshiper, and so can other people that we know, especially those who live around the world who might not have shown up on the initial plan for the Jewish people or for us. I want to close with a story this morning, and then we're going to have an opportunity to respond. The story is about a gal who lived in Central Asia. She still lives in Central Asia. This story is only a couple of years old. But we heard this story, and then one of our friends met her. Her name is Galia. She was growing up in Central Asia. I can't say the country's name because we're live streaming, and for the security of our people who work there, that's the kind of country it is. So that's the kind of access to the gospel it does or does not have. And Galia was living in that country. She was a young adult. She had a really good friend that she was living life with, and her friend and her friend's family had to move and leave the country. Galia was already struggling with some loneliness and depression, and when her friend left, it got really bad. The only thing bringing her any kind of joy in her life was that at nighttime, she would put on a Christian radio station that was being piped in by like Trans World Radio or whatever, and she was listening to Christian music. She had no idea what it meant, but she was listening, and then in her language, she was listening to messages that would say things like, Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. She didn't know who Jesus was, but the music did make her feel better, and the messages were interesting to her. But eventually, she kind of came to the end of her rope, emotionally, in her depression, and one day she decided to end her life. So she went out to outside of the town, and she had heard about a place where people had ended their lives in this river, and so she went up on this bridge and threw herself in. And somebody grabbed her shoulders and pulled her out of the river and put her on the bank. And she looked around, and there was nobody there. So she's like, that's a little weird. But she threw herself back in. And then a second time, somebody grabbed her shoulders and pulled her out. Put her on the bank. So now she's thinking, either I'm going totally crazy, I've been shocked, or I'm already dead or something, but I don't know what's going on. And still I don't see anyone here to help me, and the depression is still bad. So a third time she throws herself in the river. And a third time she gets pulled out. So at this point she goes, all right, fine. I'll stop throwing myself in. So she goes home. She takes a shower, gets warmed up. Same day, her mom calls her and says, Galia, your friend is back in town visiting from, you know, this other country that she's in. And so she comes up to Galia, they embrace, and she says, Galia, I can't wait to catch up with you. I just need to say one thing to you first. Jesus loves you, and he gave himself for you. I want to tell you about him. She explained the gospel. That day, Galia came to faith and her whole family. Galia is now a part of one of our house churches in that country. A place where there are only a couple hundred believers in the entire country. I tell you that story for a couple of reasons. One, you might feel like Galia today. You might feel like, man, if you knew who I was or the burden I carry, I don't know if there's any hope for me. And I want to let you know the same God that pulled Galia out of the river is there for you. Wants to pull you out of the river that you find yourself in, whatever it is. Second, people like Galia hear the gospel because somebody captures this heart of God. So somebody got captured and said, I want to do radio, and I'm going to figure that out and get that into countries where they haven't heard the gospel. And then somebody sent a missionary to that other country where they introduced Galia's friend to Christ. Then she comes back, introduces her to Christ, and on it goes. But without people's hearts being captured for this kingdom gospel that's for all people, why would we do these kind of things? Why would a church like Grace Church give $1 million to global outreach this year, which we will? $1 million. Why? Because our hearts can be captured for the people that Jesus cares about, not just ourselves. The gospel is for all people. So I tell you, and the third is this. Many of us have a Galia in our lives, a friend, a family member. And we're coming up to a family holiday time where for some of us, it's a really fun celebration time. And for some, this is like the worst week of the year we're about to experience because of loneliness or family hurt or whatever it is. So I just want to acknowledge that. Number three, maybe we're just going, it's a mix of all of that, but you don't know my family or you don't know my friends. We all might have a Galia in our lives and Jesus is drawing them to. Like he drew the wise men, like he drew us, and he wants to draw them as well. So here's what we're gonna do this morning. I'm gonna explain and then I'm gonna pray for our time. We've got a few ways to respond. Our service is not done yet. We're gonna have a quieter, reflective worship moment where we have a few options. One, you got communion elements when you walked in the room. If you didn't, I'm sure there are some out in the lobby you can go grab. At any time during these next few minutes together, I would invite you to remember the Jesus who came, who sacrificed, who was sent by the Father and without sin died for sinners like me and you. And we remember him and we give thanks, and maybe it's an opportunity to repent and to find him for the first time or to confess our sins and just to say, Jesus, I want my life to be centered on you. So at any time you can take communion. The second option is we've got boxes here with prayer cards. And those prayer cards are for people that you may know, a person's name, a family member, a friend, maybe a people group that God has put on your heart or a nation around the world, that during this time of worship, you just wanna come forward, write the name down and put it in the box as just a symbolic way to say, I'm gonna intentionally pray for this person or these people. Also, our prayer team is gonna be involved this time. So if you, maybe you're feeling desperate or maybe you just want prayer for something else, our prayer team would love to pray for you throughout this time. So the space will be opened. This is kind of a choose your own adventure response time. But during this time, we're gonna have reflective worship. So you'll be able to hear one another. Maybe you've been so busy, you just need to sit in God's presence for a couple of minutes, and that's okay too. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come now to draw us to yourself in whatever way we need today. If that's conviction or comfort, would you, maybe even something from this wise man story stirs in us about ourselves or our families or our own passions. So Spirit, I pray that you would direct our minds as we respond in worship. I pray we would turn into worshipers if we weren't. And that as we pray for family and friends and maybe ourselves today, that you would be honored. Jesus, you would be lifted up. When you're lifted up, you draw all people to yourself. So we lift you up, Jesus, and ask you to do that. Let faith arise in our hearts and in our minds and in this room, even now, as we worship and respond.